And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and Phil Conlon is here.
Yes. How are you doing, Phil? Good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk about Victoire Ingabire, the political prisoner in Rwanda. She has had some difficult episodes. We want to find out about that. We're going to speak to someone in the UK who represents the Democratic Forces of Rwanda. And to begin with today, we're going to be talking to Karen DeVito of Vancouver, who is works with and is part of the Freedom Flotilla. If you don't know about the Freedom Flotilla, I urge you to go to their Twitter account, Freedom Flotilla. There's also Canada Boat Gaza. We've spoken on the program previously about this matter. There are boats that are trying to bring assistance to the people of Gaza, and the Israelis are not happy about this. I believe we are joined by Karen DeVito. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, hello, Phil. It's good to hear a voice from back home after 2.5 months at sea.
You're a sailor. And
yes, I'm married to a...
Now, we may as well start with, what we don't know here. There have been a number of boats, and we'll ask you about all the details, but
yes.
A boat called the Return, Al-Auda, is it?
Al-Auda, yes, the car.
Apparently, I'm not being told by the Canadian media, but I can find on the Internet that it has been apparently stopped in international waters and boarded by the Israelis, but that's all
right.
I know. And a key aspect of our interview, you are... I understand, the wife of the captain.
I'm the wife of the captain on the Freedom, the sailing ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we sailed together with other people from Copenhagen to Italy.
Uh-huh.
And John has been made captain on this last leg. I was a little worried about that. However, he reminded me that in 2011, he supported me when I went on the Canadian boat to Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
The Tahrir. 1 year after the Mavi Marmara incident, I don't know if you recall that, but that is the time when the Turkish ship went to break the blockade and commandos rappelled down from above from helicopters and
oh my gosh, yes.
Shot 9 people, killed 9 people, shot 50 people. So that was the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I caused him a lot of worry. So now it's my turn to wait.
You have to wait. So what can you tell us about this? Do you have information on what has transpired?
I can tell you about the Al-Auda because I've been in contact with people who've gotten out. We had 2 Israeli citizens on the Al-Auda, Yonatan Shapira, a former Israeli member of the Israeli Defense Forces, pilot, who now stands for human rights for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is distressing, I guess, to the current administration. And then Zohar Chamberlain Regev, the crew leader on the Al-Auda, very staunch Israeli activist for human rights. So those two have got out of prison and communicated with some of us that the boarding was a bit messy, like ours was. There was some tasering and beating. Someone reported seeing some blood on the deck, although Israeli media is reporting it as a peaceful takeover. So that's what I know. There are still quite a few activists, 18 to 20, still in prison. One was taken to hospital, I am told. At first, we thought it was because of an asthma attack. Now I'm told he had to have stitches. He's from Canada. That's Larry Commodore. He's a former chief, First Peoples chief in British Columbia, and union organizer. So I hope Larry's okay, but at least he is not in prison as far as I know. So that's what I know about the Al-Auda.
Uh-huh. Now, and there were, in terms of what their plan was, we spoke 2 weeks ago with David Heap, who is also coordinating and working on this and has been a passenger. He said that aboard, they had medical supplies, and then the intention of turning over the boat to the Gaza fishermen. Is that
yes,
is that
as
right?
A gift. As a gift to Gaza fishermen. The thing is that recently Israel has now decided that Gaza fishers cannot go more than 3 nautical miles from shore, and there are no fish. Even when it's 6 nautical miles, it's still a problem. And the Israeli Navy has repeatedly fired upon sunk fishermen's small boats, forced them to swim to the Israeli Navy boat, and then incarcerated them and sent them home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by sea, and of course the news by land has been just beyond devastating in the last few weeks. People have been standing out there near the fence, but in their own territory, mm-hmm. being shot down by Israeli snipers. So as far as we know, so far there are yes. more than 125 people killed, some 16,000 people.
I was amazed that the Supreme Court of Israel was unanimous that they could do that, that the army could do that.
Well, it's...
I could not believe
that a court would say that. To hear this. Well, you know, John and I have been involved in this issue for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Began as an academic interest for me, studying peacemaking and divided societies, reading and writing and editing a book about mm-hmm. this.
Yeah, you're an academic yourself, are you not?
I have been, yes, with Simon Fraser University. We published a book called Hushed Voices About Unacknowledged Atrocities in the 20th Century.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 years, we tried to find a publisher, and we discovered that the chapter on the Nakba in North America was heavily criticized, the Nakba, the expulsion of Palestinians from Israel in 1948 and the creation of all these refugees,
mm-hmm.
who are now refugees from Syria as well. Mm-hmm. There, many of them are Palestinian. In any case, we finally published the book in the United Kingdom. We were told by many publishers that if we took out that chapter on the Nakba, they would publish our book. But we decided that it was a very important one. It's really central to the way the Near East is
yes.
today. Every chapter in mm-hmm. our book is in the news today, including Palestine.
Yep.
So despite it being an academic interest, when a friend of ours from Palestine, who lives in Ottawa now, talked about his niece who asked her daddy to take her to the seashore in Gaza whenever a flotilla comes, at that moment, I decided that I had to get on that boat. And so I climbed up all my academic books and jumped on the Tahrir in 2011
mm-hmm.
and didn't get to meet little Hanan. She's probably now about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that people in on the Freedom or the Al-Auda could go there and give her a hug for me.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the Al-Auda, of course, has been captured.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is our, you know, you pick something to work on and you work on it. We have yeah. worked on this.
Well, this has been really remarkable. The Canada Boat Gaza, the Freedom Flotilla, what an, I think it was a brilliant idea. And all the people who were involved in it, it grows each year, I notice. And, well, people like Roger Waters has become
yes,
part
Roger
of this exercise.
Waters.
He supported you. And I noticed Noam Chomsky had a special statement.
Yes, yes. Roger Waters was performing in Vancouver. We asked him if he would speak. He said yes.
Mm-hmm.
We had 8 days to organize this. We filled a church downtown with 1,000 people, and we showed the film that he narrated, The Occupation of the American Mind, filled the theater twice.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that couldn't have happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
The support is wonderful. Of mm-hmm. course, we would like the blockade to end, and, you know, really, it would be so good for Israelis and Palestinians both. Ordinary people just want to live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live in the light of justice. They want to have all human rights and the capabilities for human flourishing. Most Israelis have most of those things. Palestinians have none, and particularly in Gaza.
Yeah.
They have not one human right if you read the International Declaration. This is what drives us. And I would add that every person on these ships has worked on other causes,
mm-hmm.
feeding homeless, cooking in church basements, going to Syria and cooking for refugees and cooking more and cooking more, feeding people, helping people.
Yeah.
This is what every person on that boat does in many ways.
Yeah. And they're such a remarkable group. You mentioned Yonatan Shapira.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. He was with the Israeli army. He was a captain.
Yeah.
He had been a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. And he's actually worked. He has an interesting term. He talks about it, the boycott from within. He appeals to Israeli servicemen to not engage in repressing people of Gaza. And I guess, of course, the rallying point is the matter of blockade, right? And then this happened. The interception of the ship was in international waters. That's rather significant.
It was, for our ship, it was 40-some miles, similar with the El Oda. Others have been intercepted at 85 miles. This is what happens, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all these ships have been inspected before they sailed. They have nothing deleterious on them. No,
well, had they let you continue, you would have been happy to let them search the ship, right?
Of course. And they did search the ship when we sailed.
Mm-hmm.
It was turned upside down, but we were incarcerated. The medical aid, you know, it's really symbolic. In 2011, the hospitals were in dire need of medical supplies, and we had a shopping list from them, and we got basic medical supplies, about 40,000 euros worth. And again, our ship was going to be a gift to the people. It was a 26-meter ferry, steel ship. But the point is that the blockade is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, the medical aid was never delivered as far as we know.
Yeah.
Now the ships are carrying a symbolic amount of medical aid.
Yeah, I assume they're going to...
dire need.
I assume they're not going to release that ship to the Palestinians. They'll keep the ship, right?
Well, the ships are all in a kind of museum that people can visit to see what they call terrorist ships.
Mm.
But, you know, when you talk about the medical aid, the hospital there are in such dire need. You know, what really got to John and me was a little boy we met in Napoli. He was there with Susan, a wonderful Palestinian-Italian woman who was taking care of him and his mom. They got permission to leave Gaza. Jamil was his name, and they gave us permission to share his picture and story. Jamil was 17, although he looked about 12. And he was wearing a medical mask. And he and John just gravitated to each other. And they looked at each other, and John showed him his own arms, which are quite mottled in color, brown and white. Jamil, his face was patchy. Jamil has a rare blood disease called thalassemia. And it was discovered when he was 18 months old. He has stayed alive this long because in Gaza, his grandfather has given him blood transfusions every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now, in Canada, he would have been treated as a baby. But they just simply can't treat this, as many illnesses.
Yeah.
But John and he bonded because John has had a stem cell transplant, too, 10 years ago. And it was really moving to see the two of them together.
Uh-huh.
And it really got to us because we know and we were told Jamil will soon be sent back to Gaza. And I looked in his mother's eyes and we took each other's hand and I saw the worry. And I thought back to that time when John was so sick and needed a bone marrow transplant. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I know and she knows that 95% of the drinking water in Gaza is contaminated. Right now, it's poisoning about 1 million ordinary kids, healthy kids, slowly. And Jamil's chances are not good there. Besides that, there's been bombardment. What are they going back to? Are they going back to home, or are they going back to rubble?
Yeah.
And John and I could not stop thinking about this little boy for days.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Karen DeVito, who is one of the... I'm going to call you sailors, who've been part of the Freedom Flotilla now for a number of years. There are more boats on their way, are there not? Is this the first?
John, yes.
Can you tell us anything about what we might anticipate seeing here over the next week or day?
Well, it's been kind of there's a bit of silence around it, but it is being reported online. There are some news media who are picking up on it now, which is heartening. And I thank you, Phil, for asking us to share the story. And I hope people stay tuned. The Freedom is a 22-meter sailing ship, and John is the captain. It is still at sea, about 200 nautical miles from Gaza.
Uh-huh.
So we expect sometime Wednesday, maybe Thursday.
So, yeah, so this will just be steadily unfolding. We're talking to you, of course, because we are painfully disappointed in the what is called media in
the
free world.
But they
seem to be free to be silent about this really a great human and humanitarian effort. I want to ask you lastly, by the way, that you've been, people should know, you've been sailing with these groups yourself. Since they left Sweden, this has been 3 months, I think.
We got on in Copenhagen.
Uh-huh. And you met someone, Genoa? A young boy. I wanted you to tell that story.
The young boy, that was in Naples, in Italy.
Naples,
yeah.
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, Genoa would be
hard. This boy was in Naples and with his mother and the woman who was taking care of them. And he will be sent back. They are told that he will be sent back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Canada, he would have had treatment as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He would have had this treatment as a baby.
Yeah.
And he would be living in a country with clean water and sewage treatment. You know, kids in Gaza, when they go to the beach, because the sewage treatment plants have been bombarded, the beaches are contaminated. It's hard to imagine. And, you know, even... Our Canadian friend, Tarek Loubani, a doctor who, an emergency room doctor who goes to Gaza and works there, was shot not that long ago, shot in the legs and survived as he was working on patients in the along the fence. People are standing there asking for their rights. Tarek was with other medics, and he was shot. So when John was asked, it hits close to home. But this is what happens with every single Palestinian person.
Yes.
Every single person knows somewhere, as a family member, who's been shot or injured or killed.
Yes.
It's the human part of it that makes us want go ahead and be freedom sailors. And I know it sounds a bit daft to get on a boat and sail towards Gaza when you know that the end will probably be being captured and being imprisoned and then... Well, being deported somewhere.
People should really wish that they could say that, like yourself, they've been a sailor in the Freedom Flotilla. Lastly, I know that you told me earlier something that you have seen and people should take heart from, that as you were sailing and visiting ports and as you've been working on the matter, you notice that there are more and more young people. Am I right?
Yes, that's true. Every port we visited, and not just young people, people of all ages. You know, in Spain, we had support from MPs, from mayors of towns, from local activists, from all kinds of people. It was really from unions. The mayors of Palermo and Naples have stepped up and said, we support this. And they also have defied the central government in Rome by saying that we will also accept refugees.
Mm-hmm.
What happens remains to be seen. But what people have had to do to get where they are, when you hear their stories, they're just people like all of us. Some of them freely educated, unable to do their profession in the country they've chosen, like Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We met people in Germany who had come across the Mediterranean on inflatable boats that sank, Palestinian people who escaped as boat people, mm-hmm. who sank and who saved their families. Those are the stories we heard. Of course, we don't hear the ones of the people who yeah. didn't make it. So, you know, this is why we sail.
This is a story that needs to be told. Karen DeVito, congratulations on this on the work of the Freedom Flotilla. We want to get back in touch. We want to know what transpires with your husband and the other sailors. And we thank you very, very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. Let's just hope for human rights for all people everywhere. That's our goal. That's why we sail.
Well, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And
my pleasure.
This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5. I think we have some appropriate music, and then we're going to be talking to Justin Bahunga about Rwanda.